When God calls, what do you do? When God calls, what can you do? Really, you cannot do anything but obey. Surrender, submit to God, and obey His will. What does God call us to be? What does God call us to do? Please know that the call of God has two aspects. There is the call to salvation, and there is the call to service. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we learned of this call to salvation, how the Lord calls us out of darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of Satan, the darkness of this world, into His marvelous light of the gospel of Christ and of His kingdom. That is the call to salvation. And I trust you have experienced this call in your life, that you are now in the kingdom of God because the Lord has called you to be a citizen of His kingdom, to be part of His family. You are now a child of God. And I'm sure you have experienced how this call has been irresistible. You know, the call of God is irresistible. If God wants to save you, He will save you no matter what. And what a wonderful doctrine this is. This is taught in the Scriptures. God is powerful to save, and we cannot resist His power. And we know this as the fourth point of Calvinism, right? T-U-L-I-P, the I, the irresistible grace of God. I'm glad we sung the wonderful grace of God just now. Indeed, it is wonderful. And God saved us by His grace. And His grace alone. We did nothing to deserve this grace, this gift of salvation. We are sinners, we are guilty, and yet He was so merciful to us. He loved us from the beginning. Even before we came to existence, He knew us, He chose us, and then He called us to Himself. And we may have had for a time resisted His call, but finally we had to surrender. We had to submit to Him and say, "Yes, Lord, I've sinned against Thee. Please save me from my sins now." And what a joyful moment that was when you surrendered your life to the Lord and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's nothing good or worthy in us. It's all by His grace and His grace alone. And He simply loved us from the outset in a very special way and chose us to be saved. And that's why Romans chapter 8, verse 30 says this, "Whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and those He called, them He also justified." And in God's own good time, we heard the gospel, and the Spirit convicted and convinced us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, and how the only way for salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "You know, you cannot come to me unless the Father calls you to Himself." We know this from John 6:44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Now this is the irresistible grace, the irresistible call, the irresistible drawing of God, of us to Himself. "And I will raise him up," the Lord says, "at the last day." From sinners we became saints, and all this by God's irresistible grace. Now, let me also say that it is not just the call to salvation that is irresistible. The call to service. especially to full-time service, is also irresistible. And this is what the Apostle Paul tells us here in Galatians chapter 1. In verse 15 and 16, Paul is talking about his call to service. Paul said, "It pleased God. It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach, him among the heathen." Indeed, the Lord not only called Paul to salvation on the Damascus Road, he also called Paul to full-time ministry, to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. And this was one thing that was irresistible. Paul has been resisting God, resisting the Lord Jesus Christ, persecuting the church. And he was on the way to Damascus to arrest Christians over there. He was bent in destroying Christianity. But then if the Lord wants to save you, he will save you no matter what. If he wants you to serve him full time, he will call you and you will have to kowtow to him. And that was what happened to the Apostle Paul. He could not resist. Jesus said, "Are you not kicking against the pricks? You try to fight against me, you're fighting a losing battle." And Paul realized this, so he surrendered and bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ, bowed to his will. "Yes, Lord, I believe and I will serve thee." And the same was with the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah. Isaiah testified, "The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword." See, to be a preacher, a prophet, "and said unto me, thou art my servant." Isaiah 49, verse 1 to 3. And Jeremiah likewise, "Before I formed thee in the belly, God told him, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Jeremiah 1, verse 5. So the call to full-time ministry, dear friends, involves a call from God. And that's why we require, when people want to apply to study in FEBC full-time, to prepare themselves for full-time service, we require them to write a testimony of their salvation and their call. Their call to full-time service. That testimony is one of the important documents we need from them. Because we find the scriptures. You want to serve the Lord full-time, there must be this call to full-time service. So the full-time ministry is not a profession, it is not an occupation, it is a vocation, it is a calling, involves a calling from God. And if the Lord has called you to serve him full-time, you cannot resist it. It is also irresistible grace, like salvation. It's an irresistible call. That was my experience. By way of testimony, it is by the grace of God that I am alive today. I should have died at infancy. My mother had a difficult time at the delivery table or bed. I just refused to come out. And it was at KK Hospital, and it was in the year 1964. And the doctor at that time who delivered me was your senior pastor, Dr. S.H. Toh. And so my mom had a difficult labor. I refused to come out, and so what happened was, my mom told me, Dr. To used a vacuum machine to suck me out of my mother's womb. So you can say I was forcibly separated from my mother's womb. But when I came out, I was not breathing. I was all blue. But thankfully, I was revived. And it is all by the grace of God that I am alive today and I have survived till this day. The Lord must have had a purpose for me. And when you look back at your life, I think you can see also God's good hand in your life, how He has led you thus far, and how by His grace, the special circumstances in your life, how God has delivered you or guided you or intervened in your life for a good purpose. He has a good plan for you, and now you are a child of God, or you're serving Him. This is all God's doing, dear friends. It's the grace of God and the grace of God alone. I was born again when I was 7 years old, and that was when I was in St. Andrew's School. My father made sure I was enrolled at a mission school, St. Andrew's, so that I may hear the gospel and prayerfully, hopefully, believe on the Lord Jesus. So in St. Andrew's School, Anglican school, every year they had a gospel week. So they would invite a preacher to come and preach the gospel to the students. I remember when I was in primary one, I heard the gospel in this gospel meeting. And I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember that day very clearly when I prayed that prayer of salvation. So the Lord had mercy on me and saved me quite early and quite young. And later I was baptized in a Lutheran church. When I was in junior college, I thought of becoming a teacher. By that time of your life, you have to know what you want to do with your life. And I thought I would become a teacher. So after my A-levels, I've gotten a place in the National University. And I was interested in studying history and political science. Not to be a politician or to be in a PAP or whatever P, but political science involves world affairs, modern history. I was interested in that and studying history. I would be a history teacher. But the Lord had other plans. At the same time, I also had a desire to study theology. And this desire grew and grew and became more and more intense. And so just before I completed national service, the Lord impressed upon my heart. It was a deep, deep feeling and conviction, and I could not run away from it, that I should, after national service, go straight into Bible college to be trained for the full-time service. And so I decided not to go to the university, but to FEBC. Was it a right decision? Well, my church elders at that time did not think so. I was worshiping in a Brethren church at that time. I think they were concerned for me. They were thinking of my interests, and they said, well, since you already have a place in the National University, there are those who want to get in, they can't, but you already have a place, so go to university, get your first degree, and after finishing your studies, if you want to go to FEBC, then that would be an option, but go and get your degree first. While sounds sensible, and it's kind of attractive because you can have the best of both worlds, so to speak, but if the Lord calls you, You will know it, and you cannot resist it. And I just could not help but to enter into FEBC immediately. I knew that if I've gone to university to study for 3 or 4 years, those years would be most miserable in my life. I would not be enjoying my studies. My heart would not be there. I knew it for sure. So my elders, my friends, some of them think I'm foolish to do this, but you know, once God has convicted your heart, you just cannot run from it. It is irresistible grace. You must submit, you must surrender, you must obey. If you don't do it, there is no peace. If you don't do it, you will feel very miserable. And so, now this conviction and this feeling is really inexplicable. You just have to experience it for yourself, you know. Words cannot describe it. And so, there's no other way. Only one way for me. And so it is FEBC, Here I Come. That was in 1985. I wrote to the university to cancel my place, and I enrolled at FEBC. And those years in FEBC, those 4 years from 85 to 89 were the best, I would say, the happiest years of my life. Happiest years. Wonderful years indeed. It's not easy at FEBC. The training is difficult, but it was happy. It was a happy time. You know, it's never easy under the matron, Mrs. Toh. FEBC students would know. But it was good. It was good. Better be good. She's my mother-in-law now. Well, I really enjoyed my time there and learned a great deal. And after I completed my studies at FEBC, the Lord opened the way for me to further my theological studies in the States. And when I returned to Singapore in 1992, my pastor, by that time I was a member of Life Church, and my pastor then, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, asked me, "What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do?" And immediately, without hesitation, I said, "To teach." To teach. I did not feel that I was called to pastor, to be a pastor. I didn't think I had that spiritual gift. I had my weaknesses, I must say. To be honest, I feel more comfortable with books than with people. So I said, I believe the Lord has called me to teach. I would like to teach. I felt strongly about it. And so he said, "All right, you will serve in FEBC as a librarian and a lecturer." I was so glad. I was so thankful for this, and I would be contented to do just that until the day I die. And by the grace of God, I've been serving in this way since 1992 when I returned from the States to teach theology at FEBC. Interestingly, a few days ago, I received a letter from a lifer from Life BP Church, and he shared how about 20 years ago, some lifers were asking Reverend Toh about the next pastor of Life Church, and Reverend Toh told them, "Jeffrey is not suitable to be a pastor." And I believe he was right. I didn't think the Lord has called me to be a pastor, but to teach His Word in FEBC. Now, you know that I am now pastor of True Life BP Church. Now, how did that happen? How did that happen? See, God's grace, again, is irresistible. If God wants you to do something to fulfill His will, you just have to follow. You just have to submit and surrender. In 2009, our beloved founding pastor, Reverend Toh, was called home to be with the Lord. And True Life was left without a pastor. I was then an elder of the church, and I was just thinking of playing a supporting role in church. I was still not willing and not ready to be a pastor. Let someone lead, and I'll play the supporting role, praying for God to raise someone. My focus was still very much on FEBC. And already my plate would be full, all right, at FEBC. Many things to do. So I still at that time did not think I should be pastor. And I was not willing either. But God would not allow it. God would not allow it. And at a session meeting, that was early 2010. Independently, the Lord moved two members of the session, Elder Joseph and Deacon Philip. I think both of them are here tonight, and you can ask them about it. And both of them, the Lord used to pronounce an imprecation on me. If I do not enter the pastoral ministry and pastor God's church, the Lord would curse me. And Deacon Philip said, if you refuse to be pastor of True Life BP Church, God will take away FEBC from you. Wow. That, I was taken aback. But I was still very skeptical. I was still not very believing and was not very willing. And for this, the Lord chastised me sorely and greatly. And finally, realizing this is God's will, and it's irresistible. You have to really submit and surrender yourself to the Lord. I repented of my thinking and my feelings. I asked the Lord for forgiveness. I was too proud. The Lord had to humble me. And I repented. I say, Lord, yes, if you want me to do this, you must give me the grace. You must give me the strength. You must help me. And when I surrendered myself to the Lord, then there was peace. Then there was blessing. And all this happened in the early part of, the early half, the first half of 2010. And the Lord was very merciful. He restored that which was lost. So I'm truly overwhelmed by the grace of God in my life. I am nothing. I can claim nothing. It is all by the grace of God. We are all very unworthy and undeserving. And yet the Lord called us to Himself, to be His sons and daughters, and then to be His servants. What a great privilege. How can we not serve Him? We must serve Him unconditionally. The Lord had to teach me this painful lesson by way of experience. I know it in my mind, but I did not believe it in my heart. And I didn't obey. The Lord had to chastise very painfully. And He will do it to make us submit to Him because it is for our own good. And He will get all the glory. He will get all the glory. And that's why we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that is what Paul himself said. Paul himself realized this when Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles." He was really undeserving. He was a persecutor of the church. And yet later the Lord made him a preacher of the gospel. What a blessing. From darkness to light. And then Paul went on to say that he was not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So this one thing I've learned, if God wants to save you, he will surely save you. God cannot fail in his salvation work. Once he has loved you and chosen you, he will call you. You will become his own, his child. And he will sanctify you. And one day he will glorify you. You will arrive at your final destination, which is heaven itself. God will make sure of it. And if God wants to use you in any way, if God has called you to full-time service, I pray the Lord is speaking to some hearts today. We need a new generation of end-time preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and defenders of the faith. We are living the last days. We need faithful, sincere pastors and preachers and teachers and missionaries in these last days of rampant apostasy and unbelief. We need this new generation of end-time prophets. I believe the Lord has raised up FEBC for this reason, for this purpose. Train a new generation of pastors and teachers, preachers and defenders of the faith in these end times. Is the Lord calling you? If the Lord is calling you, submit to him right now. You don't, you resist, you'll be very miserable. And God may have to chastise you until you submit. Why go through this painful process when it can be a blessing from the outset? And you can never resist God. You cannot fight God and win. And that's why the hymn says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey." And after you surrender yourself to him, you experience the blessing of the Lord, the joy and the peace that comes from above. And you will be glad because of it, that God has compelled you to do this, because you will see it is so good. I was foolish to resist and reject. It's so good and so sweet to obey and to follow the Lord. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And so nothing happens by chance. God is in charge and in control of our lives. And if we belong to him, he has a good plan for each and every one of us who belong to him. And if he has called you, he will enable you and will empower you. He will give you the faith to believe and to obey him. And his grace is truly abundant and irresistible. May this be an encouragement to you. And may God get all the glory and all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy grace, so rich, so free, so irresistible. And we thank thee, O Lord, that you have not left us on our own, for on our own we would walk the path of destruction. But we thank thee, O Lord, that you have led us. And we are walking in the path of righteousness, all because you have made us to. And we thank thee for this grace of thine. May we always be faithful to thee, loyal to thee. May we love thee and serve thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength until the very end. Be faithful unto death. And we know that you will grant to us a crown of life. Bless all the hearers this evening. And Lord, I pray that thy word that has gone forth will not be in vain, but you will do a wonderful work by calling someone today to serve thee full time. In Jesus' name, amen.